Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
All right, we're recording?
Yep.
Welcome, everyone, to the Rink Rat Report podcast. I just have a quick question. Jason, what was our goal for the Leafs to put up in terms of points coming into this episode? Do you remember?
Was it five or six? Four? It was 4-6.
Baseline four, goal was six.
Yeah.
How many points did they put up?
Eight.
Oh, yeah.
An astounding 8 points. Minnesota Wild game. That was on, actually, the New Jersey game and the Minnesota Wild game were very close to start off the week there. But that Pittsburgh game was kind of a shit-kicking.
And a then, shellacking.
A shellacking. It's a good word for it. And then the Detroit game, I mean, the margin was pretty wide for most of the game. So even if Detroit did play them kind of closely, I would say. I don't know. It was, but
like we'll get to that later. Definitely like a score effect kind of game more than anything.
Yeah, I suppose you can say that too. So, as always, getting saying this one pretty late, but as always, joined by Josh and Jason.
Yep.
Great week.
It feels
fun to watch some of these games again. I don't know if anyone else is getting this feeling, but
it does. They're finally scoring again, which is something that, I mean, before this game, like, they weren't really putting the puck in the net all that much, even though they're supposed to be the high-flying Leafs. They have no defense. They're all offense, and I think they put up the stat last night that the Leafs have given up three or less in 16 games, 17 games now, right? And we're a quarter of the way through the season. That number's not bad.
Not bad at all.
So let's get into it. To start off the week, New Jersey, I mean, that game was crazy. Kind of sucks talking about it now because it was actually such a wild game. But it's been dated now, the three disallowed goals. I think we're all in agreement. Those were all no goals. Like,
the only one that was arguable is the first one, probably.
I wouldn't even say so. He was in the crease. He hit.
Yeah. No, yeah, I agree. I feel the other two were like clear to me.
Yeah.
The second one, Tatar has a clear lane to go around Matt Murray. He takes the inside lane between the net and the goalie and bumps him. It's obvious. Yeah. And the third one, he just kicked in the net. Like,
yeah. It's always fun listening to other fan bases, though, talk about the rule book after they've been wronged, kind of thing, or quote unquote wronged by the rule book, because the takes that come out of that are insane.
There was a guy that I was in the weeds with that was just making up rules.
Making up.
He sent a picture of the NHL rule book claiming he had to study it for something, which I was like, oh, this guy's legit. Then he just started making stuff up.
Yeah. Like, yes, this is the NHL rule book. However, you're not reading it correct. It is upside down, sir.
He's using duh rules from Fairly Odd Parents.
What a reference. But anyways, there that game, I mean, the Leafs were heavily outshot in, not heavily, but in three out of the four games, I want to say.
Like Jason said, like the Detroit game, they were just kind of throwing as many pucks on net as possible once the game was out of hand. And the Devils are good.
Wild game again. The Leafs went up.
Yeah, that one was close, though. Like,
that was a close game.
Again, and the Wild are a big, like, I don't want to say they
that
played.
One they got some good chances. They didn't get the goaltending.
I don't want to say they played two back-to-back road games against teams that have the most favorable home scoring, but what they did.
No, they did for sure.
The Devils is getting a little ridiculous watching them.
It was funny. We were just watching the game, and then just the scorekeeper would just go 1-2-3 extra shots. Nothing would happen.
It's insane. I'm not discrediting. The Devils
Wild,
are really, really
the Wild
good.
The Wild 100% did that too.
The Wild did that.
The Wild 1,000. There was like five shots on net I counted, and it was like 20 shots total.
It's crazy.
Where did all of this come from?
Remember to be skeptical of this data, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Even though we reference it all the time.
Exactly. Yeah, the Detroit one. I mean, Red Wings won it as well. That's very true. But, yeah, in each of these games, I mean, like, yes, as we mentioned, they were outshot, but, like, once you go up, like, and you play that shutdown defense, you know what? The Leafs did a great job of that. Like, they didn't blow any leads. They gave up one or two goals when they were leading, but like when you're leading the entire game by multiple goals and you give up one, fine, I'll live with that, no problem at all. They didn't give up the second one, so there we are.
The team defense has been good this year.
Yes.
And I think this is the four game stretch where people kind of noticed. Again, not like their defense core is good. No, it's not right now. Not like they have. They have been getting really good goaltending as well. But even in games where they haven't, where Shalgren's been in, you've pointed out a lot of the time, the defense has been really good in those games.
Even it looks like the forwards are playing.
That's what it really is. It's I think the forwards are doing a lot better.
I think the centers are playing a lot higher in the zone. They're not getting burned where it's 3-on-2s, 2-on-1s. It's a lot. The neutral zone is a lot more controlled, and you're seeing a lot of strips from Matthews, Marner, Tavares. A lot from Tavares. He's been a lot better defensively, I've noticed this year. You're getting all those strips high in the zone as well, and then the puck goes back the other way. And on top of that, like, you look at all the shot volume from Detroit last night. Like, I was going through some of the saves from Murray. Like, there wasn't too many where it was, like, massive breakaway save, massive save here, massive save there. Like, if anything, it was the Wild game he had to make the biggest saves. There was a few he made. Like, Kerfoot misses the puck at the blue line, breakaway. He makes a huge save there. Huge save on Kirill Kaprizov in the dying seconds of the game. There's a couple other ones in there too. Like, he only had an .893 save percentage in that one, but he played fantastic, I thought, in that game. But
yeah. Well, the other thing I was going to say is, with our current bottom six construction, how many bad defensive players are in our forward group?
Not
in the bottom six?
In the bottom six, it's almost, unless Robertson's playing or Malgin. Maybe Malgin. But Malgin's kind of filled that role really well.
He's okay. I can think of a couple plays that led to goals because he was kind of out of position or not doing the right things. But that comes with time.
But right now, it's
not recently.
It's Engvall, Holmberg, and Kerfoot. All three of those guys are Holmberg, responsible. Sheldon Keefe loves him. I don't know, but he was very complimentary of him.
Yeah.
Again, it's too early to kind of break down his game.
Very early.
But it's fair to say he does a good job of playing through the middle of the ice and supporting defensively. Obviously, David Kampf is one of the better defensive players in the league. Zach Aston-Reese, again, one of the better metrically defensive players in the league.
No, he's been good. He's
so that's five of your six are like their best attribute might be defensive, like adjacent playing.
Yeah. And Zach Aston-Reese has been much, much better.
Yeah, he's been really good. Holy and then, moly. So really, your only line that's kind of poor defensively metric-wise before anyone gets upset is Matthews, Nylander, Bunting. That's the only line. Because even Tavares, like you said, he's done a much better job in his own zone. He's been much stronger on the puck. And again, it helps when he has, Marner on his wing and they can transport the puck a lot easier.
Yeah.
So I think that's what, like you said, that's contributing. Their forwards are playing really sound defense.
Exactly. Do you have any numbers for us in terms of the Matthews line for defense?
Yeah, they're not that good. It is what it is. again, you may watch and tell a different story. I'm not giving an eye test opinion. I'm giving a metric opinion. And the three worst forwards in terms of Evolving Wild's expected even strength defensive contributions are William Nylander's last, Bunting second last, Matthews third last.
Yeah.
So they're literally the bottom three.
Yeah, that makes sense. Also, like if you
with
look
2D, sprinkled in the bottom five, guess which 2D they are?
Morgan Rielly?
That's one, yeah. That's all I wanted.
It's probably TJ Brody because he plays Morgan Rielly. TJ Brody's
way up there. Matt Colwell's there.
Matt Colwell. Okay.
Matt Colwell? Yeah.
Thought you'd have to have some games.
TJ Brody's number one.
Okay.
Which is almost more remarkable.
Yes.
If you think about it.
Yes, because I feel like these models, I don't know exactly what goes into the pudding of the model that is the Evolving Wild model, but it's hard to separate a player from who's on the ice, is what I'm trying to say.
What I would say about their model is, I don't think they do the best job of creating an entire war number, but their individual raw numbers are pretty bang on.
True.
Yeah, they look matches the eye test pretty well, I would say.
Piggybacking off of your point, though, about that second first line, whatever you want to call it, the Matthews line with Bunting and Nylander, like in 100 minutes of ice time, they're losing the Corsi battle, the Fenwick battle, and
no, they're getting smoked on
spectacle
five
battle.
Possession
but,
battle.
But
they don't
they
have
score.
The possession.
6-1.
Score, exactly.
So plus five. So
it's called shooting talent, baby.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And they got two very good shooters on that line, too.
Damn good shooters. And then one above average, maybe.
Who? Yeah. Michael Bunting's okay. Not above average. I wouldn't say. He's okay. I'll give you that one. But in terms of games this weekend, the most impressive one to me from the last four has to be the Pittsburgh one. Like they made Pittsburgh look like a bottom feeder team. And Pittsburgh's in a playoff spot right now, believe it or not. Because I had to be reminded several times that they were on a five-game win streak before that game because they looked terrible. They looked horrendous. The Leafs dog walked them from start to finish. I think Erik Sjögren had He did a decent job, but he didn't have to do too much in that game.
No. I don't think Pittsburgh's very good.
No, not really. But
they're definitely better than what the Leafs did to them on Saturday. I mean, that's for sure.
The funny thing was the Leafs went up and then they just kept pounding them. Yeah. I felt like through the neutral zone, their centers are not defensively responsible at all. It was a 3-on-2 the other way every single time, and it left the winger open on the other side. Yeah.
What's another common thread of their centers, though, if you think about it? Older. And maybe slower.
Yeah. Yeah. You pointed something out to me before yesterday's game. The Sidney Crosby, after the first goal.
Oh, yeah.
If that was Toronto, that would have been talking about no way.
He was kicking the bench over and over again.
After. So what happened? Matthew came through the neutral zone. He picked up the puck. Sidney Crosby went off for a change, and he went off slowly.
Yeah, it was a horrible change.
Matthews just quick turnaround up to Marner. Marner just deked the pants off of Casey DeSmith, and then Sidney Crosby was kicking the bench.
Like, imagine a gif of a child kicking and screaming. That's exactly what he was
doing. And then he had to go to the dressing room.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe he kicked off the skate blade?
I don't know. Apparently he was hurt.
All right.
But it's just funny because when one of our players had a similar, I would say much less understated incident, because he left the bench to show his frustration. Maybe that's worse. I don't know. It's like you got to do your Toronto media Pythagorean theorem on what's good or bad. But also, I
mean, Sidney Crosby has 3 cups.
100%.
2 gold medals.
For sure. No doubt. I guarantee if it was in Toronto still, that would still be a story. Yeah. But also, again, I don't mind him showing frustration. He made a mistake. Instead of, you know, Zach Wilsoning it, blaming someone else, he was pissed at himself. So good for him.
Yeah. On top of that, in that game, the power play, no power play goals in that one, but I feel like that's where the power play started to get momentum. And then finally, we actually were able to get a goal. The Leafs were able to get one in Detroit there. We'll get into that in the defense talk more so, because I have a couple points there that I want to touch on specific to the defense. But in terms of these games, I mean, it was another good stretch for the goaltending, another good stretch for Matt Murray, I would say specifically. He's been a rock back there. Everything they've thrown, like, in multiple ways too. Off the rush, he's been good. I criticized him for his off the rush play before. I haven't seen a goal off the rush really. I mean, one was a rebound last night. I wouldn't call that off the rush as much though. I haven't seen a goal though off the rush. He's looked fantastic. I mean, the only thing that people are talking about negatively about Matt Murray right now is that he kicks the post off. But, like, what are you supposed to do? You have to push off the post, and if the post comes off while you're pushing it.
So, I have a question about Matt Murray. Can we dive into the Matt Murray? Or are you?
Yeah, let's finish to finish off these games. I mean, it just looked like a very sound team effort. There was some gaffes still from the Leafs defensively. I think there was a couple games where they could have managed the puck a little bit better defensively, but I think the biggest thing and why that they weren't killed by that is because Giordano and Hall were solid.
Let's give Hall some credit. He's played really, really well.
He has blocking a lot of shots.
He's the weirdest player I've ever seen in my life.
He's just milquetoast. It's the best way to describe him.
He does a good job at keeping players to the outside, which is good. Like, when he does have his feet under him, off the rush and defending, he does a good job of blocking shots and keeping players to the outside. It's just he is Justin Hall, and he is prone give away the puck from his own end.
Also, like, he is pretty good as a penalty killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's 6'3"
and more than willing to block shots.
Yeah.
It's been amazing. It's been very
thing about
good.
Justin Hall is, again, if Justin Hall is just net neutral at even strength,
that's solid.
It's a win.
He's only makes, like, again, we talk a lot about him. He only makes 2 mil. It's not like.
But somehow, again, I do think it probably is a confidence thing. Like, right now, he's playing top pairing minutes. It's almost like, hey, if I mess up against Sidney Crosby, like, oh well, right?
Yeah.
Instead of before, he's bottom pairing, sheltered. I don't know. Sometimes it works like that, right?
Yeah, maybe.
A little human element.
I like that.
Yeah.
But he's also Mark Giordano is like.
He's been a monster.
People are talking MVP of the early season. He has to be one of the Leafs MVPs for sure.
He was down for a little while, like that LA road trip. He didn't have the best LA road trip there, but
he's come back
early
soaring.
In the season, he played very well. And I mean, what's he got? 2 points in his last 2 games?
The last
primary assists?
I don't know. It's hard for me to remember how many games. But basically since TJ Brody's gone out, I would say.
Oh, yes.
He's been very, very good.
Yes.
To a point where it almost wants me to, which we were kind of saying earlier in the season, like, I want him to get more minutes in the playoffs, too.
Oh, in the playoffs. By the playoffs, yeah. You got to make sure.
But last year, he was, again, 18, 19 to 18, 20. But, like, he might be 22, 23 in the playoffs.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, he started off lower, and then as the playoffs went on, it was almost like everyone was playing it, like, well, about 20 minutes, and then Morgan Riley was playing a little bit more.
There was an overtime game that really
skewed it. Okay, true. Didn't think about that.
But, yeah. He's been awesome.
Thank God we have him.
800K. 800K. For Mark Giordano right now.
Biggest lift. We called it first, by the way. We were talking about this like back in
1 year ago today.
Like almost a year ago today. Trade targets on who the Leafs should get. And hey.
I mean, I wasn't.
Yeah, you were.
You were.
No, I said a bit back and forth. He wasn't coming.
No, you said he was coming until you heard someone say he wasn't coming.
Oh, yeah.
Which probably at the point you heard that was most likely true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then things change.
That's true, too. That happens. But. Anyways, let's move on to what did you want to get
the
into?
The goalie.
The goaltending.
So, correct me if I'm wrong. How much is Matt Murray practicing right now?
A lot of load management. He did not practice.
Right.
Or quick goaltending session.
So, level of concern over Matt Murray potential durability while balanced with how well he's playing right now, while also balanced with Ilya Samsonov coming back off injury. Go. Answer that puzzle for us right now.
Because, injury concern.
As we said, if you're a starting goalie in the NHL playoffs, you need to play. If you want to go to the cup final, you're playing between 25 and 28.
It's 22 to 25 games.
22 to 25 games in 60 days.
Yeah.
Maybe less, maybe 55 days. So,
that's actually a really good point.
Level of concern.
I mean, you got to think of it. It's a long regular season. The Raptors did get Kawhi to go and play a full playoffs, right?
Absolutely.
But this is not Kawhi Leonard. This is Matt Murray. And, I mean, we were paid a third and a seventh to take him on for a reason. Largely health-based because he was always injured in Ottawa, it seems like. So, obviously, no matter what, even if he was, if I didn't hear, they're load managing him, I'd be concerned about, like, injuries. You can't take that out of the back of your head. Like, I know it sounds pessimistic. They're on a run. He's playing amazing. Like, I'll look it up later, but have his odds for the Vezina gone up at all? He was plus 10,000 before. I wonder if they've gone.
I assume they probably have gone up a little
better.
Bit.
I wonder.
I would assume so.
But, I mean, like, at the end of the day, like, I can't, like, boast too confidently because, I mean, he's already been injured once this year, and he's an injury-prone goaltender, but the good news is we have Ilya Samsonov as well, and he's coming out off of injury. Seems like they've taken their time with him. And so we have both of those, and the defensive structure is playing soundly as well. So, I mean, we get Brody back. It's only going to be better. And
absolutely.
He seems like he's the next one to come back. I don't know. I think in a week or so, but we'll see.
That's great. That's good news that he's coming back. Like, what's always surprising to me is not always. What's funny to me, I guess, is before the season started, we talked about how many games played each goalie would get. Mm-hmm. And we talked about like backup plus Shalgren.
Yeah.
And I think we put it at like 12 to 15 games.
Yeah. Shalgren's played how many games?
10. It's
crazy.
He's
played 10 games.
He's played 10 games so far this year.
Yeah. I didn't budget. My model didn't budget for
both goalies.
Both goalies injured at the same time. Yeah. But despite that fact, again, we're still second in the division, 2 points behind, 3 points behind Boston. Like,
no, they've played very well.
They're good.
Encouraged. The goalies especially. I said this to Joey yesterday. He disagreed. I even think Eric Shalgren has contributed more than he did last year. He disagreed.
Yeah,
but that was what
I still disagree.
That's what I thought.
Like the mistakes I see from him, it's still.
I still don't. Okay, he's not a good goalie in my opinion. He's not an NHL goalie, clearly. But I'm just saying, from last year to this year, just feels a little better.
Yeah.
I mean, it is easier for him. Like that Pittsburgh game, like when you simplify the game for him, like they you didn't give, like Malkin, you gave a good look, but then Mete got his stick on it and it was like a flubbed shot on net. Like when you give him looks like that, yeah, sure. Like I'd hope he'd look good in those situations. But like you give him a game like the Islanders and he still finds a way to mess up in the dying minutes of the game and then they end up losing. It's like, damn, like I still see the same old mistakes from Eric Sjogren. He's still the same old goalie to me. I don't think he's like an ECHL talent like some of Leafs Nation seems to think when things aren't going well, but he's a third goaltender. Like you have to temper, you have to, that's all I have to say. That's my evaluation.
I think he's been a good third goalie. That's what, yeah, that's my,
that's what,
yeah.
It's been exactly what we needed.
He's been a third goaltender to me. I don't know.
Yeah. No, again, I'm not, I don't want to be the guy standing for Eric Sjogren. No offense. I'm sure he's a nice, nice dude. Yeah. How are his numbers looking compared to last year?
It's crazy. He's been a part of the six overtime games we've been a part of.
So which games? He lost to, well, so Matt Murray lost to the Devils.
Yeah.
He lost to the Islanders. He lost to the Sharks. He lost to the Ducks in overtime. And
I think that's it. Four.
Was that four?
Yeah. Devils, Islanders, Sharks, Ducks.
We didn't lose to the Devils.
Oh.
We've lost five, though.
Who was it the Islanders game that he gave the puck away?
Yes.
Yes.
I thought that was the Devils game. Okay.
Sharks. There's one more in here. I can't remember which one. Golden Knights. He lost in overtime to the Golden Knights.
Interesting.
I remember that. That was his best game. And he only got 20 shots and he gave up four goals. That's kind of funny. But that's hockey for you.
Yeah.
Right. Shall we get into a little bit of the defense?
Yeah, let's talk about the defense.
Joe, let's talk about Joe's controversial Twitter take from yesterday, apparently.
No, it wasn't that. I think someone just took it, like, with Twitter, because you're writing words down, like, people can interpret it 1,000 different ways. And someone thought maybe I was a little bit too hard on Mete and Hallowell. It wasn't like they told me I'm an idiot. They were just like, hey, like, they're our sixth best defenseman. I'm like, well, like, they're 8 and 9 on the depth chart coming into this year. And I don't know. My big thing with Hallowell and Mete, going aside from the cesspool that is Twitter, my big thing about Mete and Hallowell is that they're just way too small, and Hallowell is not good enough defensively for them to be paired together. Like you saw last game, Detroit had home ice, so they had last change. They were able to take advantage of this and put, who do they have out there? Rasmussen. I want to say Adam Ernie was out there. Who's some of the, Kubalik was another big guy that they had out there. Like they put the big boys against Hallowell Mete on purpose because they would just sit them in front of the net, and 5'9 Mac Hallowell had to try to move 6'4 Michael Rasmussen. And they just got mismatched, and as a result, neither Mete or Hallowell were able to break up the rush or the cycles at all. And so they just got buried in their own zone, I want to say a good 5 times. And it resulted. I mean, the expected goals, both of them were under 30% in this game.
Yeah, I agree. The other thing is, do you think maybe we noticed it more because the lead was so wide that they probably played a little more than maybe they were intended to play?
Possibly, yeah. I think Mete did a good job at times, like trying to skate down the puck. He was using his speed a little bit, but then again, like he was a large reason why the first goal went in. Mm-hmm. It was a bad pinch by him. So we'll see how he does with Connor Timmins now, who's drawing in.
So how do you think he'll pair with Connor Timmins?
Pretty good, just because like Timmins has a longer reach. He's 6'2". He's not physical, I would say. I got not the best look at him, but from what I saw, he's not that physical. More of like a good passer, like good at moving the puck up the ice via passing. He's not as fast as what I kind of remembered, but the last time I watched him was 5 years ago, so that's going to happen, right? But not the fastest of players, but I think a good shooter from the blue line, pretty good passer, some offensive instinct in there, like steady defenseman. But my major concern with Connor Timmins is look at the games played numbers from the last two seasons. He's barely played at all because of injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a guy that's, you know, you're 22 and 23 year old year, you're still developing and you just don't play at all. It's kind of tough. So he's going to be in a tough spot. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Even if he is playing 13 minutes a game.
Yeah.
I'm still excited to see him play though, even though I wasn't like the most excited about the trade. Because like,
I would have been much more excited if he was able to go to the AHL, like
play
develop
some games. Yeah.
Get some games in, and then we'll see from there. But however, they kind of traded for him when they really, really just needed bodies.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I feel like that's probably the like not entire motivation, but majority of the motivation, not the fact that he played for the Sioux Greyhounds.
Yeah.
But
he did.
One, yeah.
One Greyhound in, one Greyhound out.
I'm excited to see him play though, because he's in a spot where it's like, I feel like if he doesn't like do it with the Leafs, he'd probably never do it ever. Right. Like, I don't know who would like think people would still be willing to take a chance on him if he doesn't look good in the NHL.
Yeah. Like Ottawa. Are you
fair.
Kidding me?
Yeah. Fair enough.
I think Ottawa would be more than willing to take a chance.
What did the Leafs say about Nicholas Aubé-Kubel when they signed him? Do you remember?
About the like his player
KF replacement.
No, but before that, his junior stats, remember?
Oh yeah, his junior
and
stats.
Connor Timmins, as I'm looking at your screen,
has really good junior stats.
So those things, like, they resonate with people. Like those guys and the guys who are picked higher, they are given more chances. That's just
he was
how
traded
it
for Darcy Kemper.
That's true.
He was in the Darcy Kemper.
He was in the Darcy
trade.
Kemper
he had
trade.
Value. It's just he didn't play that next year, unfortunately. I had a point and now I've forgotten it. I really don't know. I'm really stuck.
That's about Timmins? About Kemper?
Yeah, it was
about Matt Colliwell?
Oh, Matt Colliwell. That's what it was. I did not like him last game at all. And I didn't like him against Pittsburgh. No. And like the assist that he got, like there was two plays where he moved the puck up the ice and they both resulted in chances. If you watch both of the plays back, he literally, like one of them, he was behind the net and he just sent it into the neutral zone and both Detroit players missed the puck. And then the assist, Moritz Seider was just out of position, and then Michael Bunting was able to get behind him. I mean, if the Detroit Red Wings were playing the neutral zone properly and they played the puck properly, both of those pucks are just going right back into the Leafs zone. Like, I don't think he didn't skate the puck up that well. He didn't do anything offensively, I don't think. Defensively, he was a ghost. Like, I don't know. It was kind of but then again, he was not put in the best spot. Like, usually Leafs third pairing defenseman, if you're on the right side, who are you getting paired with? Mark Giordano, who isn't what a guy to excel in a good pairing with. But you're with Victor Mete, who is also same build as you, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like it's tougher for you to play your role and play to your specialty.
The other thing is, like, maybe he's not ready, or maybe he's just not, shouldn't be in that spot, essentially, right?
Like, yeah, I would say so too. Give him some time at the Marlies.
But I think it's worth, like, I think people value him as a prospect. So.
I mean, prospect. He's 24.
When you that's
say,
what I'm saying.
When you say people, you
like
mean,
just people on Twitter.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, why not?
So I mean, it's at least good to get a
why
look.
Not?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't give him a look now, when are you going to give him a look, right? So.
And if he didn't work in third pairing minutes, maybe he's, oh well, that's okay. At least
he
got a
they
look.
They actually did that with who was it? Christian Rubens last year.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Called him up, gave him a look, didn't qualify him at the end of the year, right? Even though they were kind of missing his archetype of player. So that is a good point. Call him up, give him a look. He doesn't work. Okay.
It is what it is. Oh, well.
I feel like I remember him being not that bad last
Christian
year.
Rubens. He had one game.
Did he play against Boston?
I forget which. There was one game he got. He had a couple gaffes defensively. Okay. But like, okay. He's a big defensive defenseman. He was playing third pairing minutes. Like, what have we said about players in easier roles excelling defensively?
Yeah.
Like, okay, sure.
True.
There are
very
a
true.
Lot of guys that can do that.
Yeah.
Right? So, overall with the defense, we haven't talked about Sandin Liljegren. I don't know how.
Look much better.
They look a lot better.
It's almost like if you give those guys more minutes, they just... With their pedigree and their ability, they just almost step up.
Well, last year we were saying that more minutes... actually, he's going to swing this back on me. Ready?
Sick.
With more minutes last year, we were concerned. Oh, you know, Liljegren didn't look good playing on the first pair with...
Morgan Riley.
Do I have to say anything? How much better has this team looked without? No, I'm just kidding.
No.
But it's true, right? Last year we thought sometimes Liljegren was... when playing more minutes was put in a...
Well, yeah, he was put with Muzzin, who wasn't playing... Muzzin wasn't playing that well at that time, and then he was put with Morgan Riley, and it was just a disaster defensively. Like, pucks were flying all over the offensive zone like no... Or, sorry, the defensive zone like no tomorrow, and then it all accumulated with that Buffalo Winter Classic where he got sat. But then, funny thing was, then they put them back together, and they had a great game together, so... kind of funny.
I'm surprised more people aren't talking about Timothy Liljegren.
Yeah. Why?
I think he's playing fantastic. like fantastic.
Like you are getting your gaffes from Sandin, but that's what you're going to get from a smaller offensive defenseman. I still think overall Sandin's been good, but the big thing, and you're actually to your point, Josh, the reason that Sandin's been able to be like do his thing is because Timothy Liljegren's been a rock back there. He's been very solid. And you didn't see too many times where they were hemmed in their own zone or like the big thing with Liljegren last year was that his ability to recover the puck and move it up the ice. I haven't seen much of an issue with that this year.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I agree with that.
I think that's a very good improvement. And overall, like it's very encouraging. I know it's small sample size, but it's encouraging to see him play top 4 minutes and be pretty good at it.
It's becoming a larger sample size now because if I remember correctly, the last 20-ish games, which is going to part of the reason why I think some people aren't talking about Timothy Liljegren as much, because I think the last 20 games of the last season painted like a really nice picture in your mind of Timothy Liljegren. I thought he excelled in those last couple of games. And I think that's kind of people's lasting impression of
where
him.
He played with Mark Giordano?
Yeah. Okay, and I think that's like what they expect him to be. But like the fact that he's doing it in elevated minutes is huge.
Massive. Yeah. It's massive.
And I'm excited to see those two guys play together. They played together in the AHL together. Like they should work, right? So like if they can log like top 4 minutes in the meantime against other teams, top 6 players, like let's freaking do it.
Yeah. Over the last, 5 games, he's played over 20 minutes in 4 of them. And the one that he didn't, it was 19:04. So very encouraging. And very encouraging, and he's been a plus in all of those games.
I think long term, he's definitely looking like he could be a top 4 defenseman in the NHL for sure.
Looking good that he took that bridge.
Yeah, and maybe even in like a smaller, less physical version of what TJ Brody can do, where he can like be helpful to a guy to another top 4.
I think Liljegren's more aggressive physically than Brody.
Yeah,
I'd say.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Just smaller.
Not as good of a stick, though.
Yeah, yeah.
It's smaller. Yes, you're correct on that. But
he's kind of thick, though. He's not really. He's like shorter. Yeah,
I would
wider.
Say he's about.
You think Liljegren? Oh,
it's kind of wide. Check he looks wide.
Let's check the listing.
If you just look at
they
it.
Just lie on these. That's the
only 100%.
Sandin looks.
Brody is 6'1", 185. Liljegren is 6'1", 195. So yeah,
he's thicker. He's thick.
I didn't realize.
Two C's.
185. Wow. Anyways. So overall with the defense, I mean, I think pretty happy with it. Not too many errors that's been going on, and it's been manageable. It's been solid. I mean, we even forgot to mention before after last episode, Jordy Benn got injured too.
Yeah.
So
it shouldn't be going this well.
Exactly.
If you lose a $7.5 million defenseman, it really shouldn't. So
shouldn't be seven and a half, five, and 5.5, and then on top of that, your 7th defenseman.
Just one point, final point on this note. It's only been 4 games, but I do want to say that in 5-on-5 minutes throughout the entire season, Rasmus Sandin has the same amount of points as Morgan Rielly. And with half the amount of minutes on the power play, he has half the amount of points as Morgan Rielly. So something a little interesting.
He also leads the team in hits by a lot.
Sandin?
Yeah.
He's a little gritty.
It's interesting because it's not like, He lines them up pretty good, and he gets a good step into them, and he's a little, he's like a little bowling ball out there. So when he hits guys, they feel it, like, believe it or not. And he's probably only listed at 180 or so. He's 5'10", but he really throws a thud, kind of similar to what, Maligan does as well.
Yeah.
Small.
It's interesting, because if you almost had it, it's so hard for us to pencil in Sandin and Liljegren while you also have Morgan Rielly, right?
Yeah, that's true.
If you had a different archetype of a
defenseman.
Number one D-man.
Yeah. A little more two-way, that kind of thing.
But these guys are playing good, which is really, really good to see.
Yeah. So
encouraging signs.
Exactly. So that's the defense right there. I mean, I guess we can talk about the forwards a little bit. Flying high. I mean, the top two lines. What's funny about the forwards right now, I'm trying to organize my thoughts here. The forwards right now, everyone's talking glowingly about them. Marner, I'm hearing on the radio on Overdrive, he's a top 5 Hart candidate because he plays both ends. He's playing incredible. Tavares is back on track. Matthews is scoring again. Nylander scoring. Everyone's doing well. Michael Bunting, even. At one point, he was down in the lineup. He's doing well, too. What was the thing that we criticized this forward lineup for at the beginning of the season?
I didn't want to bring this up either, but
depth scoring.
Yeah.
How many goals have we been getting from the depth in these past like four games?
But the difference is how many goals are you getting from your top four?
A lot.
Insane. Which is why, again,
but that was
said
expected.
I agree. But that's the underlying issue behind this team, right? Like,
it's kind of funny because beginning of the year, like defensively, the Leafs weren't bad. It's just you weren't getting enough goals.
From who?
The top line.
There you go.
So it really just emphasizes the issue with the forward group. I mean, it seems like I can't put this in a nicer way. Like, the third line is just out there for a skate. I'm sorry. Like,
a skate and not to get scored on. Like, that's their goal. Their goal is definitely not to score.
They're just out there.
Yeah.
They're just out there doing laps. They don't hit. They're just out there doing laps. Like, I understand Pontus Holberg has been good. And the reason that I think he's getting so much praise is that he was a sixth round pick not too long ago. He's come in and he's been fine. Like, he's been suitable. He's filled that 3C role amicably. Is that the right word?
Can I say one thing though? You said this to me yesterday too. He's not the 3C though. He's the 4C.
They
list it the other way, but
he's a 4C.
Like last night, just looking at the numbers, Kerfoot 9 minutes, Engvall 9 minutes, Holmberg 8 minutes, Aston Reese 12.
How many?
Malgin,
David
12,
Kampf?
David Kampf 13.
But
20.
To be fair, that's
that's a 5-on-5.
Yeah, that's
the
Red Wings
play overall.
Well, it should be more if it's the Red Wings game. They were up. They should play all their lines.
Yeah. He played almost 17 minutes.
Who, Kampf?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Kampf has been playing a ton. I'm just saying 5-on-5.
Okay.
Yeah.
So deployment, that's the fourth line.
Yeah. And like that's where it's like, oh, he's been great defensively. It's okay. He's not getting the toughest matchups. Like how much can you praise a player for, oh, he's shutting down Josh Archibald? Like,
you also have,
I don't care,
like $5.5 million on the wing on that line doing absolutely nothing.
So that is also kind of killing him, right?
Yeah.
And then the second he gets out, actually his goal against New Jersey was with, it was a great play from Kerfoot.
Yeah.
He just stood there and the puck deflected off of him. But it was a nice goal. It was a nice move on the breakaway there. And then a nice shot on Casey DeSmith too. So
he's
got to give him his flat. Like, yeah, he's been better than expected. And he's come in nicely. And it is refreshing that a drafted and developed prospect is coming into the lineup and showing life. However, like he's not a Selke candidate. I'd tone it down a little bit.
He's probably not even an NHL regular.
Yeah, and if you go into the trade deadline and you can upgrade on that position, 1,000% you do it.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he's even playing as much as he is now in like a week or two. We'll see.
In a week?
Yeah, for sure. Ooh,
who do you think takes his spot?
We'll see. I have no idea. But trust me, the second that the big boys stop scoring,
it's going to be the same.
The spotlight will be on
100%.
As
we said, you have six guys who are all fine defensively, like we talked about, which is why the Leafs' expected goals against numbers are good.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, they're not going to score any goals.
No, none. You can't have two lines not scoring any goals.
Yeah. Like the Engvall Kerfoot thing is becoming a legitimate
issue. It's a massive issue. Kerfoot's just been out. Like, usually with Alex Kerfoot, I go, We've been saying this for so long now. Generates so many chances. Like so many chances. And he's buzzing out there, but just can't find the back of the net. And he hasn't really generated any chances the past few games.
No, and again, like I just said, their playing time is going significantly down. If they didn't rely on those... If they didn't rely on Kerfoot and a little bit of Engvall too for the penalty kill, I think those guys would be out of the lineup.
Yeah, they've been horrible.
I mean, at this point...
They've been doing laps out there.
At this point, like, if you're so loosely able to just scratch your young prospect for four games, like, who cares about one shift or two shifts on the penalty kill? Like,
I think
Nylander played penalty kill last year. Sorry, just scratch Engvall. Like, he hasn't been good.
I think the difference has been Engvall and Kerfoot are better, significantly better defensively than Robertson, especially from what I saw the past two games. Robertson still has to figure it out defensively. He hasn't really broken up many plays. He hasn't really, like, been able to. There was one play in New Jersey. We won the puck battle. Was able to move it out of the end, but he just hasn't been strong enough in his own end in terms of.
That's like, never going to be a skill for him.
Yeah, like position wise, like work ethic wise, it's looked good. But when you're not getting stick on puck, when you're not able to break up the cycle, when you're not able to, you know, fully like physically take advantage of guy. That sounded horrible, but physically. bully.
Assert your dominance.
Even better. Wow.
On the ice.
In his own end, it has not been good enough.
Yeah.
He has, however, generated some chances. Like, against New Jersey, he had a sweet pass. Unfortunately, it went to the stick of number 47. And so you can take a guess what happened from then on. It went nowhere.
Mm.
So, yeah. And that actually happened twice. In Vancouver as well. Another great feed to Pierre Engvall right up the middle. And it went nowhere. So,
yeah,
kind of funny.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. If those two go in, I guarantee he earns another day in the lineup.
But you got to give the top four players on the Leafs right now are just playing really, really well. And it's like it sucks because no one puts as much emphasis anymore on the regular season, obviously.
Yeah.
But these are like as good of a four forwards you'll ever have on a team. It simply is.
In the last calendar year, Mitch Marner has two less points than Connor McDavid.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of points.
At 5-on-5?
I think at 5-on-5. At 5-on-5, I think.
Okay. Well, I mean, last year, Michael Bunting had as many 5-on-5 points as Connor McDavid, so.
Yeah, because Michael Bunting should have won the Selke. Or sorry, the...
Calder. There you go.
And the Selke. Who cares? Throw them all in the ring.
But yeah, the lineup switch has been good for the team.
Yeah.
Right?
Mitch Marner, 17 games in a row with a point.
Yeah.
Going for 18, I guess, tonight when you're listening to this.
To tie the record Eddie Olczyk and Darryl Sittler. Pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Do we like a big hypothetical. Let's say we get a third line center, like a proper third line center, right? Do we like the way that our top six is currently structured?
In terms of what?
Like for the playoffs. Like if we go into the playoffs with those two lines, are you happy?
Assuming
you get like a good top, like forget about the bottom six, right?
Yeah.
Forget about it. Like
in terms of Matthews, Nylander, Tavares, Marner, like Tavares Marner is doing very well. Like
yeah.
You can't complain pretty much to Marner with anyone. I mean, that guy, just look at the contracts of Bozak and JVR after they played with Marner. Like, that's all I have to say. But with Matthews and Nylander, like, Matthews isn't getting set up as much as Nylander. Like, last year, the top line, Matthews, Bunting, Marner, a lot of their chances and a lot of their offense was generated off of being able to generate turnovers in the offensive zone. Everyone's been saying it now. And even then, I put together a video of all their goals together, like where they each had a point on the goal. It was all turn over the puck. One guy battles for the puck. One guy swoops in, takes the puck, feeds it to the other guy who's in a good scoring area, and bang, it's in the back of the net. Right now, Nylander doesn't do that as well as Mitch Marner does. Like, Nylander's good off the rush, very good shot, very good finisher, but he isn't battling and winning those puck battles like Mitch Marner does, or like winning the puck off the other team's stick like Mitch Marner does. However, there was flashes last night where they kind of started to do that, and it was encouraging. So I'm going to keep an eye on it the next couple games, and if they can continue to improve and generate and build more chemistry with one another, then yes. Like I'd say it's a come back to me next episode, and we'll see how I feel. If I feel a little bit better, then come back to me the episode after. If all of that goes away, then hey, we're going to have to make some changes.
I think it was said on the podcast. If you want Matthews to score 50 goals and be a Rocket candidate, no, you don't want these lines to stay.
Yeah.
No.
But you don't. We said that
3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I know.
Matthews already won the Rocket.
But if you want to stop asking questions on who should play with Tavares and Nylander, like we did all season last year, you just put him with Marner, and then it doesn't matter. You can put Yarncock, you can put Robertson, you can put Jason, you can put Joey. It doesn't matter. I'm serious. It doesn't matter. Like, can I pull up these stats?
No.
From Cam Charon?
Yeah.
Again, 4 weeks ago on this podcast, we said the reason Matthews is playing with Marner is because Matthews' peak is assisted by the ability of everything else that Mitch Marner does on the ice. Okay? So, Mitch Marner, first on the Leafs in setting up scoring chances per 60. By a lot. Almost doubled in second best player. He's also second on the Leafs in creating turnovers behind John Tavares, which again, now think about why that line's doing so well. Okay? Austin Matthews this year with Mitch Marner was generating 9.1 scoring chances per 60 minutes. Not with Mitch Marner, he's generating 3.3 scoring chances per 60 minutes. Mitch Marner is also the number one player on the Leafs in I don't know how Cam Charon does that. I think it's entries. He's the best transition player on the Leafs. He's the best setup player on the Leafs. And he's the second best at creating turnovers on the Leafs. But do you know what he's not even top 10 in for forwards? Shots. It's not that complicated of an equation. You have one guy that's doing everything possible to assist the other guys on the team. No wonder Austin Matthews is going to score more goals with him than with anyone else. Doesn't matter, Nylander, Holmberg. It doesn't matter. Like, it's a clear, you just look at the stats. And these are micro stats tracked. This isn't like an analytic. This is like the same as a pass or a shot. Just
counting them up.
Just counting them up. That's it. No bias. There's no equation. It's just counting them up. So.
And it's matching the eye test.
There's your answer right there. It's simple, honestly. It's very simple.
Yeah.
And the reason that is because William Nylander is a fantastic player. He's much more of an individual player, though, who can generate goals by himself. He doesn't need anyone else. He can be on the line with nobody and score goals, right? So, no, you don't
How did he look with David Kampf last year?
I don't know. That was just weird, but
yeah,
that's the equation.
At his best, sure, yes.
Like, again, so Matthews, there's nothing wrong with Matthews. Really, there's not. He's actually played, like, his last two goals are really nice, beating the goalie, cleaning with a shot.
Oh.
He just needs to get more chances in those areas.
What was it? I think it was Cuthbert said yesterday that was like his first, that was his first 5-on-5 goal where he scored on his forehand.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I wasn't on the podcast last week, but I was going to say he hasn't beaten a goalie at 5-on-5.
No.
Now he has.
Now he has. Was the Pittsburgh goal? No, that wasn't. Was that 4-on-4 or power play? I can't remember. It was the one where Michael Bunting forced it in.
That, like, was a great play by Bunting.
Just good effort play. Got it.
I think that was 5-on-5.
Oh, okay.
I think.
So that would have been maybe the first.
And also, this discussion is only 5-on-5. I think Nylander, Tavares, Matthews, power play have been scoring a ton of goals. Like, that's not
looking good.
Looking really good. Power play looks good. But again, if you want Matthews at peak Matthews, then you would probably want the line switch back. If you want maybe what's best for the team, which I'm not sure yet, maybe you keep it. I don't know. I really don't know the answer.
Yeah.
What's your thought, Jason?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I honestly can't. That's why I asked you.
It is an interesting point, though, because what do you want? Like, Matthews as best player in the league? Or do you want Matthews as, like, 10 to 15 range, call it, with John Tavares elevated?
Yeah. Well, let's look back at other teams, though, who've kind of, like, been, I don't want to say similar situations, but I'm just thinking about Boston right now, and they obviously had a reason to breaking up that line of Pasternak, Marchand.
What's Pasternak's numbers
at? They're really good.
They're still really good.
And Patrice Bergeron.
He's playing obviously, with Krejci.
Yeah. Obviously, that's different, though, because, like, you have three, like, legit amazing all-star, like, better than all-star. I don't know what better word to say is, because all-star kind of means nothing in the NHL. But, like, high-quality elite, I guess elite's the word, players.
Don't take that title away from Leo Komarov.
But, yeah, those guys are... I guess it's kind of different because Michael Bunting, it's like if you're swapping Nylander and Marner, like, Bunting's still staying there. He's not really that elite, right? It's like, but he's not elite. What?
Bunting's not elite. The way you talk about him, it seems like he is.
No, but, like, let's be honest about this, right? Like,
yeah, he's a good player.
He's a good player, but
he's a good player.
Like, that seemed to work out better for them overall as a team. I'm trying to think of another scenario. Tampa has just always kind of juggled their lines and juggled the players who they had. So I feel like that's not
Stamkos has been playing with this year.
I don't even know. But they have, again, they can juggle through three lines. They have more good players. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You're really only juggling four players on the Leafs. No offense to the rest of the team.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. There's no one else to juggle, I would say. But
that's why you need to vote so we can reduce our taxes and get more players.
What?
What?
How'd you right, sound
like? Settle down.
I don't even know what to say to that one.
Stamkos is playing with Nick Paul and Alex Killorn right now.
So that's different from last year, wasn't
Hagel, it? Hagel, Point, Kucherov, Stamkos, Paul, Killorn, Colton, Nemestikov, Perry.
That's very different.
Belimar, Maroon. Well,
Belimar,
Tony,
Maroon,
Tony from the Bridge is still injured, right?
Yeah.
That's the big
one. And Stamkos is still scoring.
Yeah, he's kind of had games. a renaissance to his career, which is nice to see.
Yeah, obviously. No
scored
injuries.
Scored overtime winner last night.
Is that a thing, like, when you hit, like, 30, 31, you dip, and then you, like, kind of plateau out, well, where no, it's
it,
like...
Well, it could... He was injury prone.
It massively depends on injuries. I mean, especially, like, if it limits you. If like, think about it. Like, as you get older, if you don't have a full summer to recover, then you're not going to come into the season with full head of steam, and then whatever. But... Yeah, I think I think in terms of the forwards, we've covered it nicely. It's
we didn't even give an answer, though. That's the funny part.
There are no answers right now.
Because maybe there's no wrong answer for the top four. That's the thing, right? Not to dial it all back.
Yeah. So in terms of the right answer for the top four, I don't think it's as easy as this is better. This and this is better than this and this. Because we've seen Matthews Marner together for a full two seasons. We've only seen Matthews Nylander, like older Nylander, we'll call it, more mature Nylander, we'll call him, because old, he's 27, 6
but
years
more,
old.
More likely to shoot Nylander.
Exactly. We've only seen that together for what? A total of 10 games?
Yeah.
And that's combined between two seasons. It's only been like 5 games together right now. So I think still give it some time to gel and play itself out. And then, I don't know, in a few weeks or whatever, by the new year, if it's not like clicking and you're not scoring, your goal rate isn't up or it's not at what it was last year, then that's when you want to start to ask some questions.
Yeah.
But maybe, again, the question isn't, maybe it doesn't even matter how they split the top four. It's about what's going on beneath them in the lineup. So,
yeah. Maybe it's that, and maybe it's, yeah, the beneath them just go out there and don't get scored on.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But again, I still like the idea of getting a strong 3C to play Nylander, and then you're rolling.
So you're on trade deadline. You have one trade to make. It's forward, not defense.
He doesn't even have to play with Nylander. I lied, actually. You get a strong second line center in the NHL that can play your third line center. That's going to change the dynamic of the team. It really is.
I think, yeah.
I actually don't even think it needs to be a center. I think it could be a winger too, but preferably a center.
Yeah. Going out and not getting a 35-year-old grinder is what the Leafs need to do, in my opinion, there.
Quick question before we close out the forwards. Maybe I'm like being crazy about this, but has Nylander played like a little bit more physical than he normally has?
No. I didn't see it. You thought it. I didn't see it, but you could be right.
I could be wrong. I don't know.
He has 8 on the season.
That's got to be a career high, no?
No.
What do you have last year? 12 or 25?
Last year he had 19. So he's ahead of pace.
Hey, look at that.
William Nylander uses his body in
all the time along the board battles,
but not to try to hit a guy.
Right? Exactly. He uses his body to protect the puck, which is always good to see. But
yeah, I wouldn't say. I don't know. He's had some good hustle. I don't know.
What did you say the numbers for them were at even strength? Not good, right? Let's see those improve. That's what I want to see.
Yeah. Let's try and improve from 44% Corsi-4 to like 48.
What are the zone starts like? Let's see.
Zone starts are probably favorable. But also, to be fair, the high danger chances, they're winning it.
Well, it says 2-1.
High danger
chances.
That's cool. So I'm blind.
Yeah,
small, tiny sample, only 100 minutes. So it's we're working with very small samples here.
Yeah.
But I'm serious. I want to see that line be more dominant. Like the Marner-Tavares line has been dominant, like legitimately dominant.
More cycle time.
Why do you think more cycle time?
Mitch Marner.
It's crazy.
No, but even Tavares, like you said it. Tavares is a hound on the puck this season. A hound.
So I'll show you guys the clip. I didn't put it on Twitter, but there was a play yesterday where Mitch Marner had literally a break. He had a step on the defenseman, and he slowed down for God knows what reason and then tried to make a play from there. The puck eventually ended up to Tavares in a high-danger area, and he stood there, and he stood there, and he put his ass out and just waited, and he was able to shield off the defenseman from it. Like, I don't think it gets stated enough how strong this guy is.
Well, do you remember last year we got the stats from, I think it was Mike Kelly, that they showed on Sportsnet where like Tavares was one of the best players at...
According to it was Sport Logic.
Yeah, at contested retrievals. And
Leafs
like fans were like shocked. But that was because, in my opinion, last year when he was getting the... First of all, he was in a lot more contested retrieval situations because they were losing the puck a lot more. He was losing the puck. Now it's more like he's getting pucks that he shouldn't even be winning.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not like, oh, I lost the puck. It's 50-50. Can I get it back? Or, you know, it's a foot race and I have a step, so I'm going to get the puck. It's like he's at a disadvantage. He's winning the puck. He's collecting the puck. They're maintaining possession, which is really good.
Yeah, there's been more than a few occasions where the other team's defense is losing the puck to him, to John Tavares. And that's what's been crazy about that line. Tavares and Marner, doesn't matter how many times they give up the puck because they're just winning it right back. And then,
you know who's happy on that line? Cali Yarncroft, who was basically doing nothing for most of the year and suddenly looks like a little bit more of a player.
Yeah.
The thing about him is he can score. He can finish. Not great, but he could finish.
He's got a shot.
And people are noticing.
And a one-timer.
And I see him forechecking a lot harder on that line than the third line, which is kind of interesting to see.
Yeah. A little bit of juju there.
He's not physical, but he's very active with his stick.
Yeah. Yeah. So who knows? Maybe what are his odds to score next game? Anytime goal.
Cali?
Yeah.
I don't think they'd be posted now. I can quickly take a look at it if you just.
Is there any other Leaf storylines we haven't touched on? I don't think so.
Props aren't up yet. We'll have to revisit that in the morning. Samsonov
coming back. Robertson's drawn in for Dennis Malgin on the fourth line. It'll be Robertson's first look on the fourth line this year. So we'll see how he does there in the Dennis Malgin spot, I suppose. I don't think that's been really it. It's been very positive.
Yeah,
been
I agree.
A very good time to be a Leafs fan. I mean, even us last episode was 5 points, baseline 5 points, and they gave us 8. Are you kidding me?
We'll
against
take
good
it.
Teams too.
Very good. But now they're going to lose to San Jose at home.
Yeah, San Jose coming off of a back to back too. But yeah, I think everything's been swimmingly. You have that number yet?
Those lines are
not posted.
Not posted okay. yet.
That'd
They'll
be
posted
I'd
in
be,
the morning.
I'd be interested to see because, yeah.
If you're listening to this in the morning, go take a look.
Yeah, got a good feeling about Cali Yarncroc. But yeah. Any other points you guys had?
Not about the Leafs. Anything around the league catch your eye?
Around the league, ooh, Ilya Sorokin is now favored to win the Vezina.
Yeah, well, he's got a 9.32, right?
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
So that's not, and the Islanders are in a playoff spot. That's not bad. Matty Beniers. His odds to win the Calder have actually gone up.
Really?
To plus 300 on DraftKings.
What about Logan Thompson?
He's like at like plus 400 now, too. Yeah, so his odds are going up as well, but Beniers
is
still
be
pacing.
A battle. Well, he scored recently.
Beniers has 9 points in his last five games. That's fine. So that'll do it to you.
And the Seattle Kraken. Who would have thunk it?
Jason. And it's funny because they're not getting like tremendous goaltending. They're getting Martin Jones goaltending.
But Martin Jones 903 is better
It's better than Philip Grubauer's 888 last year. So what a difference that makes.
Yeah, they were also getting, I don't know, was it PDO bomb maybe last year? I can't remember.
Because of their goaltending. Yeah. The goaltending couldn't stop a puck.
I think it was also
Chris Driedger, and they had $10 million worth of goalies, and neither of them stopped the puck all year.
It's funny, the best goalie that they drafted in the expansion draft, they ended up trading away.
No, they didn't.
Vitek Vanacek?
That was a crazy thing because they literally drafted him and then traded him 2 days later back to the original.
They
team.
Said, no, you we're taking your players unless you give us a first round pick. We're going to take your players. They take the player. Okay, we'll take a second round pick for him now.
Yeah. What was it? There was something about that second. I swear it was just flip flopped.
Yeah, I don't know.
I can't remember.
You pulled up Owen Power.
One. Yeah.
I saw a status, something like the Sabres with Power and Dahlin on the ice versus them off the ice is insane.
Yeah.
I don't know what the exact status, if I can pull it up.
Find it, yeah. Because the Sabres have been up and down. I mean,
Tage Thompson looks really good for them.
Tage Thompson looks, people are comparing him to Mario. I know that's a little.
Jesus. Come on.
Because of the height, obviously, but.
Okay. Is Michael Rasmussen Mario? Buffalo with one of Power or Dahlin on the ice at 5-on-5. 41 goals for, 28 against. Without one of them on the ice, 9 goals for, 20 against.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah. They got a depth issue with their D. I mean, Matias Samuelsson we thought would be a little bit better, but he hasn't done.
And then today there was a big
goalie injuries for
big contract signed for Rupe Hintz for
the
Dallas
show.
Stars, making, I believe, 8.45 for eight years. Is that
big.
A comparable contract for a certain European winger on the Toronto Maple Leafs that is about to be a free agent in a year and a half?
William Nylander?
Yeah.
I thought Kevin Fiala might be.
So because like, I think... I actually
in that eight range?
I actually think Rupe Hintz is better than
Nylander. There's an argument to be made there for sure.
He's a centerman, which makes a big deal.
Okay. Well, yeah, that too. So I think Nylander come in around 7-9-8.
But I don't think people in Toronto think that. I think they think he's right now like a $10 million guy, which is not good for us. But again, if you can slip him in, there's some room. If he can come in that 7.5 to 8 range.
I think he will.
Then I think he'll be back.
That'll be nice, especially if the cap goes up by four.
Just something to look at.
You have to budget Matthews going up to what, 13?
Maybe well, I higher. Mean, as of right now, if you signed him today,
yeah, and then Nylander, and then well, Marner too. But Marner's that extra year, so.
Yeah, you have an extra year to wait for that. You can see the cap go up twice before you sign him, right?
Hopefully. Yeah, fingers crossed there. But, yeah, and then by that time, we'll find another bargain bin goaltender. Take off someone's hands that will be a visit.
It'll be Grubauer at that point. He'll get bought out by Seattle. Or we'll trade for him with turn.
Trade for him and get Matty Beniers as well. Imagine. I don't really have anything else. Marlies-wise, it's all just going steady. Kyle Clifford scored a highlight reel goal, which is kind of funny to watch.
But good to see.
Hopefully he develops out to be a good player. We'll see.
We got Sharks. Lightning and Stars.
Yeah. Lightning's. Ooh.
If we can get four, you're happy, no? If you get four of six.
Next week, Stars is Tuesday at 8:30 p.m. I think we're going to record Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Because that is just too late. And yeah.
Sounds good.
But.
We'll try it. We can do it early Wednesday if you want. Maybe try and get it out before the night. Like when I say early, I mean like five.
We can figure that out.
We'll figure it out.
Anyways, thanks everyone for listening.
Go Leafs, go.